And I'll invite you at this time to bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon that very word that we just read. So please pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you today for the chance to gather together. And we thank you for the opportunity to not only worship you, but also to hear from you as we look to your word and as we reflect upon it. And we pray once again that as we do so this morning, that you would open our hearts, that we wouldn't be hardened against your word, but that we would be receptive to it. And that as we hear, you would work within us, that you would build us up in faith, and that, Lord, for this reason, we would enjoy every blessing that has been prepared for us by your Son Jesus, by his sacrifice, and by his resurrection. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. All right. Well, as we think about that passage that I read for you just a moment ago, I think it's something that's very safe to say, probably for all of us, gathered here as well as others who live among us in our communities, that indifference is something that tends to characterize our lives. It typifies our lives. It defines our lives. And it does so in many different ways. Even realizing that certain things are very important, even realizing that certain things are a priority for us in life, quite often we just don't care. Even realizing that these things are important for us, we're very apathetic toward them. We're dismissive of them. And quite frankly, we have other things on our mind that take priority. In fact, things of lesser importance in life. They tend to consume our thoughts. They tend to consume our attention and our energy. They dominate everything about our day-to-day life, causing us to neglect those things that are truly important, that are truly deserving of our attention and of our effort. And there are so many examples of this that we can realize, to which we can look. When we're young, for example, most of us, we realize that school is important. This is something that's pounded into our head from every direction, both by our parents and our grandparents to our teachers. We realize that we need to learn if we are to succeed in life. We realize that a good education is essential if we are to get ahead in life. And we also know what this means. We know that it means paying attention in class. We know that it means reading our textbook. We know that it means doing our homework and writing our papers and preparing for our tests. But for so many of us, those of you in school now or many of us who were long ago, we just don't care. We're completely indifferent when it comes to school. We care more about things of lesser importance. We care more about things that really aren't going to matter to us in the long run. We care more about who is dating who, right? We care more about who we're going to invite to prom and what we're going to wear to prom. We care more about what's going on in terms of school sports, even if we don't play. We're more concerned about the upcoming football or basketball game than we are our education. And of course, we care much more about the latest iPhone that's just about to be released, right? And in the same way, even though we realize that it's important to work hard at our job, even though we realize that it's important to do our best, many of us are indifferent. We don't care about doing our job well. We don't care about pleasing our boss or our supervisor. We don't care about being a benefit to our company. We don't care about serving our customers or our clients. We care only about the paycheck. And quite honestly, we live only for the weekend, right? And even though we know it's important to save up for retirement, even though we know it's important that we might live comfortably as we enter into old age, for so many of us, we're completely indifferent to that as well. We're more concerned about having every toy that our heart desires. We're more concerned about taking exotic vacations on a regular basis. And for this reason, we have a tendency to spend every penny we make and more on recreation and on entertainment. And sadly, the same thing can also be true of us when it comes to our life of faith. I think it's safe to say that for all of us, even for those who aren't gathered here with us today, we would say that our faith is important to us. We would say that our faith is a priority in our life. However, as we honestly look at our hearts, as we introspect, reality shows something very different. Even though we realize that our faith is more important than every blessing this world has to offer, and even though we know that the blessings that result from our faith are of eternal significance, so often we are completely indifferent to it. We focus our attention, rather, not on the Lord and the promises that He gives to us, but upon the things of this life and the hope that they think they offer from day to day. We fix our attention not upon, again, our hope in the Lord, but upon the needs with which we seem to struggle from day to day. And quite often, we fail to nurture our faith. We just don't find this to be of any significance whatsoever. We would much rather sleep in than go to church and worship the Lord. We would much rather watch a movie than to read or to study God's word. We would much rather enjoy a fun night out than to serve someone in need. We would much rather visit with a friend than pray. And quite honestly, we'd much rather argue politics than share our faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus. And if we think about this, it's a very dangerous place for us to be. It's a risky place for us to find ourselves, and this is something that we see. It's something that stands out to us as we reflect upon this parable that Jesus shared this morning. Now, this parable that I read for you, it once again follows on the heels of the challenge that the elders and the Pharisees had posed to Jesus back in chapter 21. We heard about that a couple weeks ago. They had been asking Jesus by what authority he had done the things that he had been doing. And they asked who gave him this authority. And as we have heard the past couple of weeks, they really were not interested in his answer to this question. They really weren't even willing to consider whatever answer he might give to that question. They were seeking only to discredit him, and ultimately they were seeking only the means to condemn him. And for this reason, Jesus, he had issued to them a warning, a very serious warning. He had told them that the tax collectors and that the prostitutes were entering into the kingdom of God while they were not. And he shared with them by way of a parable that they, for this reason, would ultimately receive the judgment of God. Now, Jesus, in this morning's lesson, he again addresses them by way of a parable. And this time, he uses the picture of a wedding feast. He speaks of a king who gave a wedding feast in honor of his son. And of course, when the time came, he sent out his servants to call all who had been invited to the feast. But as we saw in this parable, those who had been invited, they would not come. And so he sent out still other servants to those who were invited. And he sent them out saying to them, "See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves, they have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." So even though they had ignored his first invitation, he still reached out to them yet again, urging them to come to receive that invitation that he had offered to them. Now, this is an interesting thing even in and of itself, because most of us, we like a good party, right? We enjoy a good meal. We enjoy even the wedding itself. We enjoy times of celebration with both our families and with our friends. And for this reason, when these events present themselves in our lives, we tend to make them a priority. If a close friend or a family member is getting married, we are going to be there. If a close friend or a family member is celebrating a significant birthday, a significant milestone in life, we, again, are going to be there. If a close friend or family member is celebrating a big anniversary, we want to be there. And there's very little that will prevent us from doing so. Very little will prevent us from going and from taking part in that celebration. Now, I doubt that many of you have been invited to a celebration being held by a person of great authority. Maybe some of you have, I don't know. I doubt that many of you have been invited to a celebration being hosted by, you know, the president, by a governor, by a congressman, by a senator, or even by a celebrity. And I know this is certainly true of me. I've never been invited to a celebration at the White House. It's not really all that surprising. I've never been invited to a celebration at the governor's mansion, right? I've never been invited to the home of a celebrity to participate in one of their celebrations. But again, I think it's safe to say that if I had been invited, if we had been invited, any one of us, we would go. It's safe to assume that we would feel greatly honored that we had even been considered. And we would want to accept that invitation. We would want to go and to participate in that celebration. However, in our parable for this morning, when it came to the invitation of the king, when it came to the wedding feast that was being held in honor of his son, those who had been invited, they were completely indifferent to it. When the servants of the king came, telling them that all was ready, they all thought they had more important things to tend to. They all thought that they had priorities of greater importance to which they needed to attend. And for this reason, we are told, they all went off in different directions. One, we are told, went off to his farm. Another went off to his business. Again, they believed that these responsibilities took priority over the invitation of the king. However, we also find that there were others. And these others responded violently to the message, to the invitation that the king had sent to them. We are told that those who had been invited, they seized the king's servants. We are told that they treated them shamefully, and we are told that they killed them. So naturally, the king was very upset. The king in this parable, he then sent his troops, and he destroyed those murderers, we are told. He burned their city. And then the interesting thing is, he told his servants that although the feast was ready, those who had been invited, they were not worthy. And this raises a question for us. It raises a question that we have to consider as we consider this parable. And it forces us to ask, what is it that made these people unworthy of the king's invitation? It forces us to ask what it was that made them undeserving of the king's invitation. And based on the parable, and we're going to look at this in some more detail, but it seems clear that it was their indifference to the king's invitation that made them unworthy. It was their rejection of his invitation that made them unworthy. And of course, and it resulted from their attitude, it was their shameful treatment of his servants who had been sent to call them, who had been sent to gather them together, that made them unworthy and undeserving of his invitation. Their rejection of his invitation, it was something that was deeply insulting. It was deeply insulting to both the king and to his son. And so in this way, they dishonored both the king and his son. We also see this in the fact that the king then set out to ensure that there were plenty of guests in attendance at the wedding feast being held for his son. He sent out his servants to the main roads to invite to the feast as many as they could find. In other words, the king, he sent out his servants to invite anyone and everyone they came across so that the wedding hall might be filled. And the servants, they did just that. They went out and they gathered everyone they could find, and we're told they gathered everyone, both good and bad. Now, once again, this is something that tends to go against our normal practice. It's something that tends to go against our normal way of thinking. When we issue invitations, whether it be to a wedding, whether it be to another big celebration that we are hosting, we absolutely take a person's character into account. And we would never invite somebody. We would never invite somebody to come to our celebration that we perceive, that we believe to be a bad person, that we perceive to be a troublemaker. We would never invite somebody that we believe to be of questionable character. And this tells us that, again, it wasn't the character of the guests that made them worthy of the invitation of the king. It wasn't their goodness that qualified them to be present at this grand wedding feast being held in honor of the king's son. And in the same way, they were not disqualified because they were bad. It was their reception of the king's invitation that made them worthy. And in this way, again, we're told the wedding hall was filled with guests. Many gathered together in response to the king's invitation. They gathered together to celebrate the wedding of the king's son. But then there's also one last factor that we have to consider when we ask what it is that made these guests worthy. And it was something that was seen in one of the guests who were present at the feast that day. We are told that the king came in to look at the guests, and among them he saw a man sitting there who was not wearing a wedding garment. And so the king, he asked this man how he got into the hall without a wedding garment. And the man, we are told, he was speechless. He gave no answer. And so the king, he ordered that this man be bound hand and foot and that he be cast out. He commanded that he be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, as we consider this portion of the parable, there is a little bit of debate about why this man was cast out. And some people, in some commentaries you read, they will tell you that in biblical times, the host would provide a garment for his guests to wear, that the host provided the outfit that the guests were supposed to wear to the wedding. And if this were the case, I think we can agree that it would be rude, that it would be insulting to show up to the wedding without this garment. It would be like a bridesmaid who refused to wear the dress that had been picked out by the bride for her wedding. It would be like a groomsman who refused to wear the suit or the tuxedo that had been picked out by the couple to be worn at their wedding. It's something that would be both deeply insulting to them and also something that would be disruptive to the wedding in itself. However, the problem with this idea is that there is no historical evidence to support it. Nowhere in history do we find that it was typical for a host to provide for his guests a wedding garment to be worn. And for this reason, I don't believe it's an idea that should be read into the texts. It's rather an explanation that people have come up with and they try to insert into it. I honestly believe that the explanation is far more basic. And we all know that even though the standards vary from culture to culture, and even though standards have changed over the course of time, we all know that there's a certain attire that we are supposed to wear to various events. If we, for example, are invited to a wedding, we are generally going to wear some of our best, some of our most formal attire to that event. Men, we're generally going to wear a suit. You know, at the very least, we're going to wear a shirt and a tie, right? And women, you're usually going to wear a nice dress to that event. The same is true when it comes to funerals. We tend to dress more formally when it comes to a funeral. And we also try to wear clothing that's not too flashy. We're going to wear black. We're going to wear dark colors, colors of mourning. We're going to wear those clothes that are deemed appropriate. And for this reason, if someone came to a wedding dressed inappropriately, it would be thought to be disrespectful. To do so, it would dishonor the person who was being celebrated. To do so would dishonor the event that was being celebrated. And so in this way, it again shows an attitude of indifference to that invitation that had been issued. By doing so, we'd be suggesting that the person being celebrated, that the event being celebrated, is really no big deal. So the man in the parable, I believe he was cast out for that reason. Although he came, he did not honor the king's son. He treated the wedding of the king's son very lightly. And by doing so, he dishonored both the king and his son. Now, in speaking this parable, Jesus was once again speaking against the elders. He was speaking against the Pharisees who had challenged him. He was doing so because they are the people who had been invited to the wedding feasts. They had received an invitation from God. And they were the people who had refused this invitation that had been issued. And quite frankly, they were indifferent to God's invitation. They were indifferent to the gospel that had been delivered to them by various men in various ways. And more than that, they were hostile toward the servants of God who had brought to them this word from the Lord, who had brought to them this great invitation. And for this reason, not only would they be unwelcome at the feast, the judgment of God would fall upon them. They would, in fact, be destroyed, and in their place, others would be invited to the feast. Others would be invited who would join in the celebration with the king and with his son. Now, when we stop and when we think about it in this way, we find that, first of all, we are the beneficiaries of their indifference. Because they were indifferent to the gospel, because they were indifferent to the invitation God had issued to them, they were cut off, and we were invited in. We were presented with the gospel that we might enter into the feast, that we might enter into God's blessing. And what a great comfort that assurance is. And it's also comforting for us to realize that our invitation issued to us by God, it is not dependent upon our goodness. It is not dependent upon how good of a life we have lived. God has invited us regardless. And the thing that makes us worthy of this invitation, the thing that makes us worthy to the gospel, is simply our response to it. The thing that makes us worthy of this invitation is our reception of it. However, this parable, it also serves, I believe, as a warning to us. It presents to us a warning that we should take very seriously. And we must take it seriously because, again, just as God had issued his invitation to the Pharisees, to the elders, to the Jewish people as a whole, God has also issued his invitation to us. God has given to us the message of the gospel, and we must never respond to this invitation. We must never respond to the gospel with an attitude of indifference. And again, I know that for most of us, when we hear this, our initial reaction is to say that we would never do such a thing. Our initial response is to say that we would never respond to the Lord, that we would never respond to the gospel with that attitude. We know, after all, how important, we know how valuable this invitation is. We realize that it's through faith in the gospel that we receive the grace of God. We know that it's through faith in the gospel that we ultimately receive the salvation of God that has been provided for us by Jesus, by his sacrifice upon the cross. And every one of us would say, if asked, that yes, we absolutely want to live in God's blessing. We would say that absolutely, we want to go to heaven when we die. We would say that, yes, we want to spend eternity in the kingdom of God where the sufferings of this life are a thing of the past, where they are no more. But as we saw earlier, just like the elders and the Pharisees, we quite often respond to the Lord with an attitude of indifference. We hear the gospel, and we respond to it with kind of a just a ho-hum attitude. As we hear it, as we encounter it, we think and we act as if there are more important things in life. We think and act as if there are more important priorities for us to attend to. We ignore his word at best. We disregard it in favor of other priorities that are consuming our time and our effort and our attention. We disregard it in favor of work. We do so in favor of money. We do so in favor of entertainment. We could go on and on and on listing the reasons, listing the other priorities that we place over the gospel. At worst, we can become abusive to his messengers. We simply do not want to hear what they have to say. And we don't want to hear it because we want to continue living life the way we've been living it. We want to continue doing our own thing. And for this reason, we respond to them harshly and we lash out against them. And in this way, you see, we too can become unworthy of the gospel. In this way, we become unworthy of salvation. In this way, we become unworthy of the grace and the mercy of God. We do so not realizing the dangerous situation into which we're putting ourselves. We do so not realizing that in this way, we can miss out on the blessings that God is freely offering to us in His Word, in His promise. We do so not realizing that in this way, we can be excluded from the blessing of God. And so this morning, as we look at this parable, which has some very comforting aspects to it, but also a very serious warning, the question we simply have to ask ourselves is this: what is our response to the message of the gospel that has been presented to us? What is our response to the message of Christ as it's delivered to us? Are we indifferent to this message? Are we disinterested in it? Do other things take priority over it? Or rather, are we receptive to it? Do we long to receive that message again and again? And do we long to receive everything it promises to us, everything that God has promised to us in His Word and in His gospel? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank You and praise You for this great blessing that You have given to each one of us. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for what He has done for us. And we thank You that even though we are not a good people, that You have extended to us this great hope, that You have extended to us Your invitation, the message of the gospel. And we ask, dear Lord, that if we have been indifferent toward that message, that You would convict us, that You would draw our attention to the ways in which we are doing that, and that we would repent, that we would confess this sin, that we would look to You in faith. But ultimately, Lord, we pray that the gospel would be of the utmost importance to each and every one of us, that nothing in our life would have more value to us than this great message, this great invitation that You have extended to us. So work within us. Draw us to Yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.